Go ahead and be seated and find 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles, we're going to begin back in chapter 15, but we're going to end up chapter 16 in verse 4. So 1 Chronicles, I want to speak to you tonight about the priority of thanksgiving. I think it goes right along with what we learned this morning, as well as kind of prepares our hearts, hopefully, for this month, this time of rejoicing in God's good gifts to us, and realizing how important it is that we make sure to give thanks to God. So, Chronicles. I'm getting everyone confused right at the start. 1 Chronicles 15 begins with David bringing the ark to Jerusalem. So I'm just going to read little bits of chapter 15 as we work our way through it. And the backstory of this event is that the ark had actually been lost. It had been lost to the Philistines. King Saul made a tragic decision, a foolish decision, to take the ark out into battle. And the ark was lost. Saul died. Jonathan died. There's a very entertaining story about what happened to the ark while the Philistines had it. Or I should say, what happened to the Philistines while they had the ark. And God did some things there to show that he was not like their gods. He was greater. And the ark came back to Israel, and now David is bringing the ark from where it was resting to Jerusalem. And so that's where we are going to pick this up in verse 1 of chapter 15. It says, David built houses for himself in the city of David, and he prepared a place for the ark of God and pitched a tent for it. Then David said, no one may carry the ark of God but the Levites, for the Lord has chosen them to carry the ark of God and to minister before him forever. Now, do you know why David said it was important that this happen? You may remember that when they tried to transport the ark before, they didn't do it the way the law prescribed. Instead of carrying it on poles, they had it on a cart. And as they were pulling the cart, it began to sway. And Uzzah reached up and put his hand on the ark to prevent it from falling. And Uzzah died before the Lord. There are certain times where God makes it very clear that he wants his way to be followed. And so David was very mournful about all of that, and everything was halted for a while, and now they're bringing it, and they're doing it the right way. They're being very concerned to do exactly what God wants them to do. Verse 3, it says, David gathered all Israel together at Jerusalem to bring up the ark of the Lord to its place, which he had prepared for it. And then David assembled the children of Aaron and the Levites of the sons of Kohath. And I'm not going to read all these, so you can be thankful for that, and we can slide on down to verse number 12. After he gets them, he gets also Zadok and Abathar, the priests, and he said to them, you are the heads of the fathers' houses of the Levites. Sanctify yourselves, you and your brethren, that you may bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel to the place I have prepared for it. For because you did not do it the first time, the Lord our God broke out against us because we did not consult him about the proper order. So the priests and the Levites sanctified themselves to bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel. And the children of the Levites bore the ark on their shoulders by its poles, as Moses had commanded according to the word of the Lord. Then David spoke to the leaders of the Levites to appoint their brethren to be the singers, accompanied by instruments of music, stringed instruments, harps, and cymbals, by raising the voice with resounding joy. So the Levites appointed Heman, the son of Joel, and of his brethren, Asaph, the son of Berechiah, and of their brethren, the sons of Merari, Ethan, the son of Cushiah, and with them, their brethren, a bunch of other guys. So the point is, they're carrying the ark the right way, but David said, this is a time of celebration. So we need to appoint people to lead us in this musical celebration. There's instruments and there's voices being lifted up to the Lord. And I'm pretty sure that when they appointed people to do this, they didn't just grab random people and hand them an instrument and tell them to get up there, right? They're looking for people that know how to play, that know how to sing, because they want to use the best that they have among them to offer praise to God. So this is an exciting time of thanksgiving. And it's right, isn't it? It's joyful when we're in God's presence, when we're serving Him. We ought to lift Him up in praise. When we come together to worship, whether it's a Sunday morning or evening, we lift our voices to God. We play instruments. We give praise to God. It's a joyful, exciting time. Now, it goes on to give us a bunch of names of people that are involved. If you go down to verse 25, it says, so David, the elders of Israel, and the captains over thousands went to bring up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord from the house of Obed-Edom, notice again, with joy. So here they are, they're finally doing it. And so it was when God helped the Levites who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord that they offered seven bulls and seven rams. So right there, they get the Ark. They offer this big offering. It says, David was clothed with a robe of fine linen, as were all the Levites who bore the ark, the singers, and Chenaniah, the music master, with the singers. David also wore a linen ephod. Thus all Israel brought up the ark of the covenant of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the horn, with trumpets and with cymbals, making music with stringed instruments and harps. Now, verse 29 tells us not everyone was happy about this. Michal, Saul's daughter, who was David's wife, was not pleased with it. But all the people are rejoicing and praising God. It is just a huge, huge celebration. Such an exciting time. Chapter 16 tells us here, now they've got it. They brought the ark of God and set it in the midst of the tabernacle that David had erected from it. Now this is a tent that'd be similar to the tent in the wilderness with Moses. It wouldn't be until Solomon that we'd have the temple, a permanent structure built. But now David has set it up. It says, then they offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before God. And when David had finished offering the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. Then he distributed to every one of Israel, both men and women, to everyone a loaf of bread, a piece of meat, and a cake of raisins. So this is a time of amazing celebration. It's a feast. Everyone is getting food passed out to them. There's music playing. This is an amazing festival. These are fun times, right? These are times when it's easy to praise the Lord, when everyone's doing it and everything's going wonderful and it's exciting just to be a part of. Plus, there's free food. I mean, did I mention there was free food? I mean, this is exciting. It's a fun, fun time. But notice what happens in verse number 4. It's about David. It says, and he, David, appointed some of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord, to commemorate, to thank, and to praise the Lord God of Israel. And then it lists off their names. You can go on through this chapter and you get David's song of thanksgiving that starts in verse number 7. And he offers praise to God in song. Certainly, this was one of the ways they were to remember God's goodness and to commemorate it. If you look down in verse number 36, after the song was given, It says, all the people said, amen, and praise the Lord. Verse 37 then says, so he left Asaph and his brothers there before the ark of the covenant of the Lord to minister before the ark regularly as every day's work required. Now, there's a number of lessons that I think we can learn from this about the priority of Thanksgiving. The first one is that it is just right that we should rejoice greatly in thanksgiving to God. We should have times of great celebration. When God does something good, when we see him work in answer to prayer, we ought to get excited about it. We ought to lay aside other things to offer up praise to God. I mean, if your team wins a game, you're excited about it. You might raise your voice. You might jump up out of your seat and do something that you wouldn't ordinarily do, but you do it just because of the celebration that's going on. And if you're with other people, you might even do it more. I know when I've been to a stadium and watching a game in person, I get more animated than when I'm just sitting at home watching it by myself. There is more excitement there. We ought to give that kind of joy and excitement and praise to God over the good things that he does. You know, when we gather in a few weeks with our family and maybe some friends around a Thanksgiving feast, it ought to be a time where we are joyful and grateful to God. And we shouldn't be embarrassed to lift up God's name and to praise him for his good things and to celebrate this feast as a little token of God's goodness to us. We ought to rejoice greatly in times of blessing. Think about the last time God did something that you were like, wow, this is really amazing. How did you respond? Now, I know we're all different in personalities and things. Everyone's not going to just turn into the most excited, screaming, crying, rejoicing person. Everyone's not like that. But how did you respond? Did you offer great praise to God? Did people around you, even if it's just your immediate family or those in the church family, did they know that God had done something great for you? It ought to be something that we are happy and eager to share and rejoice in those times of great blessing. But the biggest lesson I think we can get from this passage is not that we need to offer God praise during times of great excitement. Because, I mean, we just kind of know that. It's almost hard not to offer praise to God in times of great excitement. You know, when everyone around you is doing it, it's hard not to participate and to join in. But I find it interesting that verse 37 says that when this great song and this entry into Jerusalem was over, David left Asaph and his brothers to minister before the ark regularly, as every day's work required. This giving of thanks and praise to God is not to be reserved just for feast times. It's not to be reserved for just the amazing things that everyone has to get out and praise God for. It's to be constant, daily. If you look back at verse number 4 with me, I want you to consider it. These special times of praise and celebration are good, but you need more than that. At verse 4, he says, he appointed some of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord. And then notice the next kind of three verbal phrases here. To commemorate, or to remember, or to record, to call to remember. Then to thank and to praise the Lord God of Israel. I think this is a great pattern for us to take note of. Out of all the things that are going on, the ark being brought in and all the attention that's given to make sure the ark's being carried the right way and it's set in its place and the sacrifices are being offered, David wants there to be something special done to commemorate, to record these things, to remember them, to not let them just pass out of our minds. Because Thanksgiving ought to be a priority, not just on Thanksgiving Day, or not just on the day the ark came to town, but a daily work to commemorate, to thank, and to praise. You know, a satisfying walk with the Lord depends not on an annual feast or an occasional experience that is a spiritual high, but on a regular, ongoing, daily walk with Him. A daily time in prayer. A daily hearing His word. A daily remembering His blessings. And David emphasizes here the priority of all the other things that are going on. He emphasizes this priority of praise and thanksgiving to God. This is what he wanted, them to work as every day's work required. Here's the next lesson for us, and I'm going to spend most of the time on this. We need reminders to give thanks. He appoints these men to commemorate or to remember, to record these things, and to thank and to praise the Lord. Now, if you've read the Psalms and you pay attention to those headers and titles at the beginning, you will be familiar with the name Asaph. Asaph comes up many times in the Psalms as an author of the Psalms. And I think it's directly because of this, where David appoints Asaph and those around him to be the ones that remember God's goodness. That they write it down, they record it, and then they thank God and they praise Him. It's like they're commissioned to not let the good things that God has done for them be forgotten, but to bring them up to our memories so that we can offer praise and thanksgiving to God. This would imply, I think David understood, that we need help to remember to give thanks. We need help to not forget the things that God has done. Our memories are faulty. Our memories are faulty. Isn't it amazing how you can remember things you don't want to remember? Right? There's something that you did or something that you saw that you wish you could forget, but it's as fresh as the moment it happened in your mind. And yet there are countless good things that you witnessed or that you even did that slip from your mind, that are forgotten. Our minds, our memories are affected by the curse of sin and the fall. So it is easy for us to remember the evil and to overlook the good. So we need help to remember to give thanks to God. Our memories get affected by neglect. We don't even try to remember the good things of God. It's amazing how as kids, we can soak in all kinds of information. I remember when I was a little boy, me and my friends in elementary school at lunch, I don't know why all of us seem to have Cracker Jack boxes, but I think it's because inside of them were baseball cards, and we all love baseball, and so we begged our moms for them. And so at lunch, we would open up our Cracker Jacks, and we would pull out our little baseball card. Anybody remember those? They're like this big, little baseball card. And now I couldn't even like read a single thing on it because it's so small. But we would look at the back and there would be several years worth of stats of the player on the back. And so we would look at those, and this is how nerdy we were about baseball. We would play a little game at lunch where we would go around and see who could guess the guy's stats. So it's like you go around and see what was his batting average, you know, in 1985. And then one kid would guess, and one kid would guess, and one kid would guess. And it was amazing how many times people like got it right. And I soaked up all that information because I was so interested in it. I wanted to learn about it. I could tell you whose team they were playing on, whose team they used to play on, how many home runs they hit, how many RBIs they hit. All these completely meaningless, worthless facts. But because I was so interested in it, I soaked it all up. Now, I'm sure my mom and my teachers wished I had that kind of attention to all the things that they told me, like things my mom told me to do, or things my teachers wanted me to learn. But because I was so focused on that one thing, that's what my mind was consumed with. I don't know about you, but I have to look at my walk with the Lord, and I have to say, my mind has not been that focused on noticing all the good things that God does, so I can remember to give him thanks for it. My heart is not that focused on wanting to see God at work and praise him for it, or to remember even. I have a habit that every day in my notes for the day, I put a little place for gratitude, and I try to write down something I'm grateful to God for each day in there. And before you think, oh, wow, that's so great, let me just tell you, some days I'm like, what should I be grateful for today? And it's like blank for a long time before I fill it in. And I say that not to say, oh, I'm so good, I do this gratitude thing every day, but to confess to you that I have to think hard sometimes about what I'm going to give thanks to God for. Because I don't notice 1,000 things to give him thanks for when I should. Now, it's not that there's not anything I can write down for the day, but I'm missing even the message this morning about God's gifts that he gives to us. He didn't mention any kind of like, hey, you ought to rejoice that when you get this fortune handed to you and you recognize that's a gift from God. No, just the ability to have anything and to enjoy it was a gift from God. The ability then to have a nice cushioned seat right now and to enjoy it as you're here and you're thankful that you're not standing or that you're not sitting on something hard or uncomfortable or something that's very musty and stinky smelling when you sit on it. That's a gift from God. That's something to be thankful for. Now, I don't naturally think of anything like that. No, I'm waiting for some big, amazing thing to happen to be thankful for. Something out of the ordinary. But David appoints these men to commemorate and to praise and to thank. We need help with our memory to praise God because our memories are faulty. They're affected by neglect. They get overloaded with other things. Our minds are not big enough to remember everything. I'm reminded of that all the time. And that's why I try to write things down. And writing it down doesn't mean I'll remember it, but it means I might remember it. Not writing it down almost guarantees I will not remember it if it's something that I need to do. We have a struggle with remembering God's goodness and giving thanks. And it would do us well to work against that natural tendency to forget to give thanks. Sometimes the pain that we experience crushes our thankfulness. You know, the difficulties, they overwhelm us, and we forget about the blessings. What we need most of all in times of difficulty is to remember the gifts that we have from God. What we need most of all to encourage one another is to point each other to God and his goodness. Even if we have those things just for a little time. I was reading a sermon by Charles Spurgeon this week that was actually on this verse, verse 4. And it's called The Recorders, because in the KJV it translates this as to record, to thank, and to praise the Lord God of Israel. And he spends the whole sermon talking about problems that we have remembering. And some of the things I've shared with you are things that I've taken right out of there. But he had an amazing statement about when we lose something. When we lose something, he said, we forget the gift. We forget the gift. In other words, when we have something, and he talked about whether it was a spouse or maybe a child or maybe good health, when we have that for a certain period of time and then we lose it, we mourn over it, and that's certainly right and appropriate. But he said we need to remember that the time we had with that spouse, with that loved one, with that health, it was a gift from God. So that Job could say, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It's an amazing thing. We need help to remember that. We need a team of Levites to follow us around and commemorate these things. To look at the ways that God has blessed so that we do not forget. There's so much to remember. And I would encourage you, if you have trouble remembering God's goodness, literally make a record for yourself. Maybe it's just in the back blank pages of your Bible. And maybe you're not going to go and write something in there every single day. But when you notice God's goodness to you, whether it is a comfortable pew that you are truly grateful for today, or whether it is some answer to prayer that seems more amazing than that ordinary thing, just go ahead and go back in that back blank pages of your Bible and write it down. Write it down and give thanks to God. Or if you keep a daily journal or a planner of some type, write down in there something that you're thankful to God for. Because we tend to forget God's goodness. And we ought to make it a priority to give thanks to God. A priority to not let his blessings slip away unnoticed and unpraised by us. Be sure to thank God at the time you're blessed. And maybe we could set aside a little time. Like, as we head up to Thanksgiving, sometimes we think like this. I need to think about God's goodness over the last year. I think it'd be healthy for each one of our families, and we haven't done this yet, so this is an idea for us to do. Each one of our families to get together around dinner time and to ask. I'm not saying Thanksgiving dinner. I'm saying before that. And to ask, hey, let's help each other remember God's goodness to us this past year. Let's help each other to think about the ways that God answered our prayers, or the way that God provided for us, or blessed us, or helped us, or anything that we could make note of to give thanks to God. Let the things that we see cause us to reflect on God's goodness to us. Now, there's plenty of example right here in 1 Chronicles 16, and I'm not going to try to go through all of these, but basically the rest of this chapter parallels Psalm 105 and Psalm 96. These are songs of praise and thanksgiving that focus on the Lord, focus on God. The Lord is found 14 times in this passage as David reminds the people of God's works in verses 8 through 13. And the words that God has spoken in verse 14 through 22. And then in verse 23 through 36, he focuses on God's glory and greatness and goodness. David knew that the thrill of the day would pass away. The thrill of the day the ark came to Jerusalem and all the singers were there and all the loud celebration was going on and the food was passed out. He knew that high moment would fade. We can't always live like on the mountaintop where everything's exciting and amazing. But he wanted the people of Israel to remember and give thanks to God day after day after day. That's part of the reason Asaph and his brethren here are appointed to their task to commemorate God's goodness, to remember those things, to bring them out to everyone's attention and offer praise and thanksgiving to God. We need reminders to give thanks. And this passage, I think, shows us so clearly the priority that we ought to give to setting those reminders. If it was important for them to not let this day of excitement pass away and instead to remember every day to give thanks, it's important for us too. It's important for us to consider God and His goodness and continually remind ourselves of it. And do that through your own devotional time. Do that through listening to other people tell about God's goodness. Do that through listening to music that reminds you of God's blessings. But don't forget to give thanks to God. Don't forget to give praise to God, because everything we have is a gift from Him. Let's bow our heads for prayer tonight. Oh Lord, we know that You are worthy of our praise. You are a generous God. Lord, we can see it all around us, even without thinking of specific blessings. We can see that You have provided a planet for us to live on that's perfectly suited for us, with its air and with its temperatures and with its resources. Lord, these are all gifts from You. The very life that we have is a gift from You. The fellowship that we enjoy, the opportunity to gather here on Sunday night, it's a gift. Lord, and we want to praise You for giving us these things. We want to praise You most of all for giving Your only Son, that the just would be for the unjust, that Christ would die for sinners, the perfect, spotless Lamb of God in the place of guilty, dirty, and sinful people. God, we thank You. We thank You for giving us the Lord's Supper so that we might continually remember the amazing gift that You've given us. And Lord, I pray You'd help us to look at the things around us and realize they're blessings from You, and we ought to give You thanks for it. It's not just fortunate circumstances that had something go well in our life. It's Your hand ordering those circumstances. It's Your hand that gives us everything that's good. And God, forgive us for getting so discouraged by the things that are not good that we fail to see Your blessings. Help us, Lord. Help us to battle against our sinful tendency to forget Your goodness. And instead, Lord, help us to commemorate it, to record it, to give thanks to You, to give praise to You for all that You do for us. And we pray these things tonight in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you for gathering with us tonight. I pray you have a great, great week. You're dismissed. Amen.